You are soon going to hear a needle drop. And then Christmas Morning with the Kitties from the Peerless Orchestra of 1917.
With the Kitties? Like the cats or kitties? Children?
K-I-D-D-I-E-S.
You say your D's like T sometimes, right?
I moved around a lot, so I don't know what accent I have right now.
I don't think there's any accent that has D's and T's switched.
Maybe Dote there is. I was working really hard for a T and a D word. Oh, there's talking in this song. I don't like that there's talking.
Are you hearing this for the first time?
I am.
I thought you did hours and hours and hours of prep.
There is talking at the end, and I assumed there would be talking all the way through it, but there's not very much talking. The idea was that this was a song, this was a record from 1917, from 100 years ago, they're playing on a very old Victrola, that you would play on Christmas morning to bring the Christmas spirit into your house.
Oh. Yeah, it's true. There was no actual, you know, Christmas special or reason.
No, and there's not even Christmas radio.
Yeah.
So here's the story. I don't know what the story is. I could use a concordance where they actually explain what all these things mean.
It just sounds like sound effects.
Yeah. Now we hear cats.
So it is the kitties.
Oh, yeah.
And some people gather around and listen to this.
You know, I'm going to call an audible and say we should just stop listening.
I think we should, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, what is this? Week
Christmas morning.
Week 49?
This 50? Is week 50, I believe.
50, okay. Week 50 here.
Yep, we only have three more weeks, and that's why this week is all going to be about Christmas. And
our holiday special.
Yeah. You know, I just dug up a copy of the Star Wars Holiday Special.
Mm-hmm.
My old next-door neighbor, I lent him my VHS tape of the Star Wars Holiday Special, which sadly I've seen more than Star Wars.
I saw it with you. First time I saw it.
Yes.
I believe we got a video from the flea market in Pensauken.
I got it from the back of a comic book shop. You could also find it in the dearly beloved Union Market, which is no longer around anymore.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, look, YouTube's great, but then we took away some of the fun of finding shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I miss flea markets.
Do you? Me too, actually. I like a flea market.
Yeah. Yeah, I like a good, vast flea market.
I like when you get like the fat guy that sells memorabilia of Marilyn Monroe. Lots of like Marilyn Monroe. I never bought it, but like there's a fat guy there who sold it.
In my heyday when I was going to the Union Market and other flea markets, they were big in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle shirts, but they were done with like an unprofessional sort of printing process. So it was just like wavy green, and they would just throw a splash of purple or blue around the head instead of actually matching up for the little mask.
Mm-hmm. I picture like there are lots of bootleg Simpsons merchandise.
Oh, so many. And
Black Bart.
Yes, I was just about to say.
Rasta Homer.
I wish I could go back in time and buy the Bart Simpson where it says, "Yo, you thought I was white," t-shirt. And it's just clearly a white Bart Simpson that they've colored brown. They've not done a good job of trying to change his ethnicity.
Yeah, most of the bootleg Simpsons thing were just them being black.
Yeah. You know, Matt Groening has an incredible collection of bootleg Simpson stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
I like that it took money out of his pocket, yet he bought it anyway.
Well, technically, it just didn't put money in his pocket.
That's
not
true.
The same as taking
money. Well, no, I mean, I imagine more if you're like, oh, I want to buy this official Bart Simpson underachiever shirt, but instead I'm going to buy, Black Bart.
Yeah.
There's only so much, Simpsons money to go around. So, yeah, you are taking money from him.
I guess so. Yeah, but it's not going into Grayman's pocket. It's going into Fox's pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the 1917 podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Ryan, and with me, as always, is Vinny Nardiello.
Ahoy, ahoy, Jeff.
Ahoy, ahoy, Vinny. We're going to be talking about Christmas. Vinny had a wonderful Christmas party. Every year he has the Holiday of Lights, which used to be actually us driving around looking at lights.
We go around, look at lights, we come back, but now there's too many kids, too many car seats. Eventually, we'll do it again. We'll pile into cars.
I like that you're looking so far ahead that, like, you can imagine another, like, 15 years from now when all the kids are away in college or stuff, and be like, we'll just drive around and we're a bunch of, like, 55-year-olds.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. No, I'm thinking that, like, in a couple years we could bring the kids out. It's know, it's a pain in the ass.
Would you smoke a cigar? Is that a cigar opportunity?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think.
And you're outside, it's cold.
Would you do it with me?
I gave you a cigar.
I did, but yeah. I can't smoke it here in your kitchen.
No.
Now, Jeff, this is our Christmas special, right?
It is kind of like our Christmas special.
You don't have a tree.
I don't have a tree yet, no.
Yet? It's what are we, three days till Christmas?
It's forthcoming. We've had a series of very busy days. I have one daughter who's doing basketball practice two nights a week. Both my wife and I have been working extra hours, and my wife is also in play rehearsal for herself. So most
what,
of our
what, what play?
She's going to be in Hairspray coming up in February.
Oh, okay.
So most of our evenings are claimed.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones that aren't claimed, something else always happens. And then it's like 10 o'clock at night. Well, then it's too late.
Can you still buy a tree now?
Yes, but every week they raise the prices by $5.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically for people like me who wait until the very end.
Well, you buy the tree now. How long do you keep it up for?
We probably keep it up until New Year's Day. So you get about 2 weeks out of tree.
Hmm.
But then we'd probably be going away for a couple of days after Christmas. So we'd only really see the tree for a week. We are rapidly approaching the point where it's not worth it to buy a tree. I understand that.
Yeah. Yeah. Are your kids like upset? Are they every day? Daddy, why do we have a horrible Christmas? Why is Christmas terrible this year, Daddy?
No, because we've had so many different Christmas and holiday opportunities. Cindy's Jewish, so we had Hanukkah, so that's 8 days worth of presents. And we had Nana's Christmas before that, which was another day of presents. And
what is it, Nana's Christmas?
Nana's Christmas, yeah, my mom. We go up to my
mom's. Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought like you found like some new type of Christmas you were having.
Oh, no. No, and before that, there were two separate grandparents who weren't going to be around on the 25th who also came around to have their own private little Christmas. So we're on like, you know, a dozen different gift-giving opportunities.
And Hollywood Spectacular, my party.
Hollywood Life Spectacular, yes.
They got some gifts.
That's yet another one.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be giving gifts to their friends at school tomorrow. Christmas itself is like the last hurrah of gift giving.
Yeah.
It's not the gift giving time.
Yeah, and there's no Elf on the Shelf either here.
We never got into Elf on the Shelf.
That I kind of wishing I never introduced this into my house. I felt pressured. I felt pressured by, you know, other people doing this. And I felt like I had to do it.
Now he's,
I thought it was going to be fun. But now it's just like, you know. Although, I'm pretty good at it. I'm good at figuring out things for the elf to do. This is a talent of mine. I think I could actually put it like a book, like, you know, 1001 things you could do with the elf.
Now, it's not just putting him, like, on a different bookshelf.
No. I do it. You know, I have, like, little, like you know, motifs I set up and, you know, dioramas and, you know, he interacts with other toys.
Oh, that's right. You had a fair amount of toys, and then your girls, of course, have lots that they can interact with a whole panoply of characters.
Yeah. There were, you know, just whatever's in the house, he interacts with. Today he's wearing fairy wings and flying about the house.
Oh,
yeah, I did that before I came over here. I did that. I'm good at this. I'm good.
Have you ever forgotten? And the elf is in the same position 2 days in a row.
Yeah. I was actually the night of the Christmas party.
Okay.
I was, you know, a little drunk.
a little.
So I went to sleep forgetting things. And then I realized, oh, my God. Like, I'm walking down with Lucia.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, my God. So I kind of, like, ran ahead of her. And then just took the elf off the mantle. And I threw him.
I'm hearing the Ferris Bueller music in the background.
Yeah. And before she realized, I threw him onto the couch. So he didn't have an imaginative spot that night. He was just like, yeah, I'm going to go take a nap.
He just crashed on the couch.
Yeah.
What's the first day the elf comes out?
I do it December 1st. But I know some people do it day after Thanksgiving.
Wow. That's a lot of commitment. That's a lot of days. And is the elf confined to, like, a certain room? Because you could, you know, bury that thing up in the attic and the kids would never find it.
In the yard, just... dug a 4-foot ditch, you know, there. I mean, you can go wherever you want in the house. I do living room, dining room.
Okay. And is it, like, on kids' level where they can see it?
Well, sometimes I try to come up with places it might be harder to find.
Okay.
Sometimes I go up high. Sometimes I go down low. You never know. Vinny Ariello.
Is it ever fully obscure, like inside a cabinet?
I put him inside a box one time, but I put his hat on top of the box.
Ah, so you gave a clue. Okay, yes. You're playing fair. You're playing fair. Not always me playing fair. I'm thinking about the quizzes that I've done over the last year or so. Some of them have been just impossible. And not designed for you to get, just designed for me to say. So I apologize for that.
I know, I think I've done a pretty good job anyway.
You have. Yeah. Yes, I think if anything else, if people have listened to this over the year, they've realized you're quite capable at handling a variety of quiz questions about things that no one has any right to know about.
Yeah.
About things I didn't know until 4 minutes before I wrote the quiz and forgot 4 minutes after I wrote the quiz.
You know, we really should be like we should donate to Wikipedia. Yeah, they always do is, you know, what every couple months, the ad that comes up.
That's not a bad idea. Yeah.
Doing a Wikipedia. That should really be our charity that we're playing for.
Yeah.
Because, you know, without Wikipedia, there'd be no show.
My Hawaiian research assistant is the real MVP.
Yeah.
Oh, our sponsor this week. Here we go. Our sponsor this week is the New York Association for Improving the Condition of the Poor. Is it going to be a Merry Christmas for us kids? Oh, that was a bad kid voice.
Wait, that was a kid?
I was trying to do like the New York kid. Voice. I was trying to do like the tough, scrappy New York street kid, but he turned into the Thing from the Fantastic Four.
Is it gonna be a Merry Christmas for us kids?
Well, now it sounds like
I liked Robert Blake Kid better.
Yeah. Should I go with Robert Blake Kid?
Yeah, go.
Well, it's just the quote. The rest of it is standard text. Hundreds of New York tenement kiddies are depending solely on the warmth of new friendships for gifts and necessities this year. Will you make a Merry Christmas to them, at least one of them? Unless you and other readers generously respond to this appeal, many little children of New York slums are going to look in vain for tokens of Christmas Day. In many homes, we know if there's barely enough food to sustain life, no winter clothing, no fuel, and in some cases, the entire support of the family devolves upon the very boys and girls for whom this appeal is made. Will you send help for these families now? Whatever your contribution, $1, $5, $100 or more.
Wow, you're asking, in 1917, they're asking a lot.
That's, Yeah. It will be used solely for relieving the distress of the poor and for providing a real Merry Christmas.
You know what I would do? I would toss a coin out my window to the kid and make him go buy a goose for me.
Wait, so $1 is the equivalent basically of like $20. So that seems like a reasonable ask, especially since $1 is, you know, a nice round number. $5 is pushing it. $5 is like $100 now. $100 is like, what? $2,000-ish? That's, I guess, just because $100 is a round figure. Maybe the same way that we've always said a millionaire is what a rich person is.
Well, this is 1917. Only the wealthiest people were able to read ads.
That's right.
You know, this is really just being marketed towards various plutocrats.
And this is from the page of a magazine. And maybe the magazine cost, like, you know, like 5 cents, and you know, 5 cents was like a $1 billion back then. There's some sad pictures in this. Look at these tenements.
Oh man, what a shithole!
Well, it is literally a tenement.
What's up with that other kid, the full body kid there?
Yeah, he's got his hand in his mouth like he's like chewing on something.
He's dwarfish.
I think he's just short, and he's wearing the sort of like tenement clothes.
No, it is. Yeah, that's why he looks like a dwarf, because children wore adult clothing back then.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. So, yeah, he's just like, you know he's dressed kind of like a grandpa.
Yes.
He's a poor five-year-old.
Yeah, he looked like he just stepped off the boat from, like, Estonia or something.
Yeah.
So, there's been a lot of stuff in the news this week. There were 542 people dead on a French train collision. That is, unfortunately for those 542 French people, one-third the body toll of the Halifax explosion. So, it's a literal fraction. It's one-third of Halifax, so...
It was no big deal, then.
No big deal, yeah. Mm-hmm. Just a matter of course.
Yeah, this is World War I, you know. I imagine death to French people is no big deal at this point.
No, 542 dead is a rounding error for the of people who died that day. In safer news, the Russian armistice began today. This was part of Lenin's idea for making a better Russia, which is get out of World War I.
Mm-hmm.
And most other nations weren't able to so boldly say, you know what, we're just going to stop fighting. It doesn't matter who wins or loses, we're just going to go home. But Lenin, because he wasn't the person who got into the war, didn't have to come up with any justifications, just, I'm the new guy in charge and I say everyone out. And the Russian people loved that because their sons stopped dying. It was also happening right around Christmas time, which was traditionally for the last 3 or 4 years, a time when there was an armistice in general, where they would say, okay, for one day, we're not going to shoot each other.
Did they declare themselves the winners anyway?
That would be nice if they did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that would be a real baller move.
we're leaving.
Yeah. You know? Because we've won, we don't need to fight this war.
George W. Bush kind of did that, though, didn't he?
Yeah. With the mission accomplished.
Yeah, like I mentioned, yeah, that actually has been done. We won. Why not?
And then hope no one, like, raises their hand and goes, I have a question about us winning this war. Did we?
Of course, we have a banner. Can't just get that made.
Our big story this week is about the toys of 1917. So we can focus on this particular aspect of commerce, of industry, of culture, of childhood, all of the things that intersect in toys.
The stuff that poor little dwarf kid can't afford.
Yes. I'm going to show you the McDonald and East's Book of Toys for Christmas 1917. I think McDonald and East was like a competitor to Sears Roebuck.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of getting the Toys R Us catalog, kids got this. It's a one-page black and white. It's got about 20 different items on it. There's very small print that lets you know the catalog number if you want to order it. So,
it has a thermos, right?
It looks like a thermos. That is actually the Allied Shell money box.
Oh.
So it looks like a howitzer shell, but you can unscrew it and there's actually a safe inside.
You know what it really looks like is the things you use in the bank.
Yeah.
In the drive-thrus.
Yeah.
What a great gift for a kid.
Yeah, there's also a literal
wash tub. A wooden wash tub.
Wooden wash tub. Price, 6 cents each.
You know, they really have a very broad definition of toy back then.
Yeah.
I remember my grandmother telling me that, like, for Christmas 1 year, she got a spoon. And it was the best gift she ever had.
These are definitely toys from that spoon era.
Yeah, she got a spoon. I'm like, I remember being like, really? I was like, she's like, yep, I went outside and I dug in the dirt. And it was a great Christmas.
Look at this one. A musical roller. This is a full-on actual toy.
I've seen that.
A real toy.
Yeah, that's all like, it was all like lawnmower kind of thing.
Yeah, or the little vacuum cleaner toy things where you roll it around and it makes popping sounds.
You know, I imagine in 1917 they played the exact same music that they play now.
Oh, yeah, like Turkey in the Straw.
They've not updated the music at all.
Now, I wonder who locked that in. Like, who came up with a jack-in-the-box music and goes, that's such good music, no one will ever, ever make a jack-in-the-box that doesn't have that music.
It's always going to be Pop Goes the Weasel.
Yeah. Finest song ever written.
Mm-hmm. You know, we're not going to update it, but there will not be, you know, I Started the Joke by the Bee Gees.
That would be great. Maybe you could make a whole series of jack-in-the-box to new pop songs.
Like by the Bee Gees, those new pop songs?
Well, not the Bee Gees, but you could update it. Every year, you like the Hess truck, every year you pick a different pop song. Like, who's going to make it into the Jack in the Box this year? This year it's Bruno Mars. Congratulations, Bruno. Okay, here's a wood building block set. That looks like a real toy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I can see that still being played with in Android.
Bucket, classic.
A bucket. That's not even a sand bucket. It's just like... it's a metal bucket.
It says floral designs on it.
Does it? Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it looks just like something you used to, like, milk a cow.
Oh, this one. Moving a butterfly with push handle. Excellent value. They don't say excellent value for any of these others, but they say it, because the butterfly is 1 cent each.
Yeah, I imagine the wings move on it too. That's quite nice.
Yeah, it's a butterfly on wheels, and the wheel has like a telescoping arm, so you can push it from like a 3 foot distance, and then the wings flap up and down.
I think one of these is that a wood burning stove?
Oh, it is. It's a safe that looks like a wood burning stove.
Oh, the son, I bought you a wood burning stove.
Bought you a Franklin stove for your birthday. No, I think the trend this year is we've bought something that's uninteresting, but secretly you can put money inside. So there's two different ways it's uninteresting.
Yeah. Kids, everybody's kids had like some cash on them back then. I imagine back then you had to really hold on to your money. Because like, think about it. Like you said, like a dollar can carry a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like, look, you drop a dollar, whatever, you drop a dollar. You know, you drop a quarter, nobody did drop a quarter. But no, you dropped a quarter back then. I couldn't live with that kind of pressure.
I think dollars were equivalent to like, okay, I have a $100 bill in my wallet right now.
Yeah.
And I would, not even to you, do I want to take it out because I feel like I would be bragging. You know, oh, big spender over here. But it's just, I don't know how I acquired it. And I feel very guilty
about it. Are you that excited about a $100 bill?
I am.
Wow, really?
Yeah. I'm like a 7-year-old. Like, whoa, I didn't know they make them this big.
I've worked in a cash business for a lot of years.
Okay, so you can tell me, do people regularly use $100 bills?
So, yeah, if you do like a whole weekend or whatever, you know, sometimes you'll get paid all, like, you know. I mean, I never get paid cash.
Or... Now,
only checks.
Now, sometimes do people like apologize for the $100 bill, or sometimes are they like boastful, saying, "Check this out, Junior"?
No,
no,
no. It's usually what they do is they just lay them out on the bar in front of the crowd, so you know, in hopes that you'll get mugged on the way back to your car.
And they just point out to you, that guy, $100 bill,
yeah,
$100
bill. Yeah, yeah. You're in like this like horrible like area where there's nobody around. You got to walk like a quarter mile back to your hotel. And just, all right, here's your money. That I'm going to put around the bar for everybody to see.
Oh, this is interesting. There's a conductor's set, so you could play conductor, like train conductor.
Oh, okay.
And it just looks like a bunch of tickets, but it comes with a hole punch machine.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it comes with a hole punch machine, because otherwise it comes with a drawing of a hole punch machine, and then you hold the drawing and pretend that it works. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping it actually does work. Here's a cloth barking dog, which is the saddest way to talk about a stuffed animal I've ever heard.
Made of cloth. Wow. Well, back then everything else was metal, so yeah, you know. Yeah. The idea of being able to, like, you know, hold a toy and not have it cut your face was probably a novelty.
Rubber air balloon. And then there's a cheaper quality available. Instead of 4 cents, it's 3 cents.
Are you no-selling what it says on there?
You can. I'm saving it for you.
Something to blow away.
No, it's something to blow about.
Oh, something to blow about.
I guess blow meant talk 100 years ago. There's a... toot toot horn that looks a whole lot like a bong.
It really does. Wow. Yeah.
There's a cricket bat.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not selling baseball bats, but they are selling cricket bats.
I imagine that back then they thought like cricket's the next wave for the kids.
That could be. Yeah.
I saw a Nerf cricket set.
Really?
Yeah.
Was this online?
No. I saw it at like Walmart or something.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah. I guess there's like a large Indian population now.
Oh, that could be it. Okay, mm-hmm. So they're not trying to say, America's coolest new trend is cricket.
No.
No. Look at this one. This is very interesting. The Xmas stocking stuffer, because it's like a stocking, but it's filled with toys.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a tennis racket that's filling out the
How do you fit a tennis racket in a stocking?
So it must be much bigger than normal.
Or a tiny tennis racket.
Or a tiny tennis racket, yeah. And there's what looks like a cannon, or what looks like the Monopoly piece of a cannon.
Pistol?
Is there a pistol in there?
Is that a pistol up top?
I don't know. It looks like a couple of pieces of bologna, maybe a maybe a pipe, like a lead pipe.
A baguette?
I feel like these are like all the different things you could kill someone in Clue with. But I don't know the actual size of this, like the scale. Like, This could be 2 inches tall, and there's tiny, tiny little things in a tiny little stocking. And the game is that you can put the items inside, like Operation. Or this could be an actual full-size stocking, and it's just stuck haphazardly with junk.
For you, yeah. This is probably like the equivalent of like egg videos, whatever.
Yeah,
the unboxing. The surprise.
Yeah. Or this could be an enormous stocking. Like it's a 6-foot-tall stocking, and there's actual real items inside. Or, I'm coming up with so many different ways to justify this drawing. Or, this could just be like a suggested use for the stocking, and you order it and you think you're going to get all these toys.
Well, what's in there?
It's just a stocking?
Go closer. What's it say?
Okay. We have a tennis racket.
No, but what about like that?
Oh, it says lucky prizes inside.
Okay, so those come with the prizes.
Oh, okay, so all of these are like potential prizes. Mm-hmm. So it's like the mystery minis boxes, yeah, where you don't know what you're going to get. But this suggests that you're getting all of these possible items, like a dozen different items inside the stocking. But really, you're probably only going to get one. It's probably just a regular sock, and then they take a toy from last year and put it inside.
What if what's inside is socks?
That would be a real Charlie Brown move.
Yeah.
That's a kick in the pants. Oh, we've got five more items that were...
And two of the five are buckets.
And these aren't even fun buckets.
What if in 1917, like this was like the Tickle Me Elmo craze in 1917, or, you know, the big one this year is the Fingerlings.
I'm imagining
that you
like,
can't get. Yeah, like, people just parents like fighting each other for buckets.
I wanted to get you a bucket. I'm sorry, but the store was out. They do sell two garden
sets. I sold my bucket to buy my boy a bucket.
Oh, ironically, I sold my bucket to buy a bucket.
No, wait. So you would sell. You'd have a bucket.
Mm-hmm.
All right, or you want to buy a bucket for your items that you're going to put in the bucket.
Yeah,
you know, like yes, or actually, which would be money because all these buckets are to hold money. So that's how it would work. You would use the money to buy a bucket, and then you'd have nothing to put in the bucket.
That's a lot of money. A literal bucket's worth of money?
you're just like I have nowhere to put this money, just in my hands.
And in 1917. Money too.
Yeah. So yeah. I go and I buy a bucket with that money, and then it's all like one man gift of the Magi kind of thing.
You know, they do not talk about the size of these buckets. So you could be really disappointed if you buy them and they're basically like thimbles and they found a way of putting a handle on a thimble.
Imagine these are like nice buckets by. Like then they probably give you a little value for your bucket.
See, if you saw this bucket on Amazon right now and you ordered it and it showed up and it was 1.5 inches tall, you would feel like, ah, they got me. They got me. I should have known it was 45 cents. There's a reason why they didn't put dimensions in here. But 100 years ago, you had to trust the catalog manufacturer because it's not like you're going to send this back.
Mm-hmm.
Because the people ordering this may be living out in the plains in Nebraska. They have no way of getting this. They've decided months ago what their Christmas was going to be and what they could afford. So if they get hosed, they're good and hosed.
You know what about these bucket ads? They're really clearly proud that these buckets have handles.
Yeah.
Like in big bold letters, with handles.
Yeah, because the reason why there's two buckets down here, one of them has a wire handle and one of them has an iron handle.
Mm-hmm.
For your notice, this is a notice at the bottom, we do not pay carriage on toys, books, wood, or glass lines. I don't know what that means. The postage is 6D for the first pound weight and 3D for every additional pound. Oh, I should mention at this point this is an Australian.
I was going to say, we didn't have dollars back then. We just had D's.
We just had D's. The Oller didn't make it to Australia.
That a lawnmower?
That is a lawnmower. That is a pushing lawnmower.
All right, and rakes. Rakes for children.
And it's like it's advertised as a toy, so it may not even work. It could be like Bakelite.
I think they pre to work like early back then, though.
Yeah.
You know, like I imagine, you know, just you didn't play for toys for very long as a kid.
I feel like I keep looking for the scams in this, which I think speaks to how many scam things are sold nowadays,
mm-hmm.
and how places like this may not may not have existed 100 years ago, because you wouldn't go into a catalog business and you wouldn't get the reputation of a place where you could send a couple of dollars and expect to get goods and services in return.
I don't know. This company's not around anymore, so it's possible.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe they ripped off too many Australians. Mm-hmm. And then Ned Kelly killed them.
This is a tiny bucket. So, you know, it's a colony, a criminal colony. So, yeah, it makes sense.
I'm going to show you an American toy right now.
All
right. This is called the European War, and it is a machine gun.
Oh.
It's just a full-on machine gun. I'm guessing it's a replica. Yeah, it says toy model of machine gun and war games, types of toys that are flooding the Christmas market. There's one board game called Outpost Battle Game and one called The European War. Did you know that H.G. Wells, 100 years ago, wrote like a war game battle strategy guide?
No, I didn't know that.
He did. He was a big fan of tabletop games. Mm-hmm. And he rightfully said that Napoleon was a big fan, and Napoleon used a lot of these in order to figure out how to win his battles. It's what you imagine when you see like a big war movie. There's a giant table with the battlefield and all the soldiers in miniature, and he's got like a stick with an L on the end of it, and he's pushing the soldiers.
I'm picturing like playing like Uncle Wiggily or Candyland or something, and then our enemy will get stuck in chocolate.
And he's looking around because he thinks Strategio is real life. Why are the soldiers who are 20 feet tall and square?
Now, we will go up the ladder here, but we shall avoid not wearing our galoshes in the rain. For then we will fall down a chute.
Commodore Plumley, how goes the battle in the Candy Cane Forest? Is it Plumley or Plumpy? I forget.
I don't know. Is that a Candyland name?
That was a Candyland name.
Colonel Plumpy?
Colonel Plumpy.
Colonel Plumpy. I don't remember that.
He looked like a plum.
I'm sure my daughter has the game. Let me think here.
Yeah, there's a candy cane.
Daughters. I wish we could have a second kid. there's Nana Nut.
Uh-huh.
I remember Nana Nut.
Yeah, and there's Princess Frostine, who's the ice cream lady.
The Candy Cane King, I think.
Yep. There's the
Peppermint King. Yeah.
Peppermint King. There's like the Highwayman character who's made out of black licorice. Mm-hmm. Remember him?
Yeah.
Lord Licorice. That's who he is. I bet there's...
I don't know. I don't remember Colonel Plumpy.
I bet there's some like grand media empire about all these Candyland characters.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's got to be someone who's like he's really into it.
Yeah. And
I don't care to know that person.
And there's like a 21 minute cartoon that was made to begin like a regular cartoon series, but it didn't.
Of the Candyland extended universe.
Yes. But it's still around on like Ersatz VHS tapes. Someone posted it on YouTube, and it keeps getting pulled down by Milton Bradley. On to our quiz. There were two countries this week who both declared independence. They both were satellites of Russia, and they were part of the Grand Russian Empire, and now that Russia is falling apart, they're deciding to go on their own. One of them is Lithuania.
Mm-hmm. I've heard of that.
Yep, the other one is Moldova.
It's not Latvia.
Not Latvia.
I feel like it's always Lithuania and Latvia.
Yeah, because it's them and Estonia who are called like the Baltic states up north. Mm-hmm. But it's not Lithuania. It's not Latvia. It's not Latveria, which is the fictional country Dr. Doom is from, mm-hmm. that I always got mixed up with Latvia. And it's Moldova, which is a tiny little carve out from Romania.
Okay.
Yeah, so if you look on a map, Romania is enormous. It's like Ukraine-sized. And there's a tiny little bit that's missing, and that's Moldova. It's not much of a country. And Moldova and Albania are basically what Sacha Baron Cohen is making fun of with the Borat character. Mm-hmm. He picked Kazakhstan kind of like, just because Kazakhstan's a funny word to say.
Yeah.
But Kazakhstan is in like Central Asia, and everyone looks like Mongolians, basically. And it's a totally different culture than what he's...
That's offensive.
He's like 2,000 miles
off. Can you say Mongolians, though?
people from Mongolia are Mongolians. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Just don't twist a mongoloid.
It is, but that's not my fault or the word's fault.
I just wouldn't use it.
How would you call people from Mongolia?
Mongols.
Mongols?
Right?
Maybe that's offensive. Maybe we can say citizens of Ulaanbaatar and the surrounding suburbs. And then we're playing it safe.
Mm-hmm.
Descendants of Genghis Khan. So the Moldova is one of the poorest countries in Europe. Lithuania is not. Lithuania is doing okay. So I've got a quiz for you. I'm going to ask you 10 questions. Well, you know, 10 trivia-like things. You need to tell me if I'm talking about Lithuania or Moldova.
All right, and I know nothing about either of them, so I'll tell you now, they're all going to be guesses.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. And we're going to begin with my favorite movie, one of my favorite movies.
You've mentioned your favorite movie a lot.
Yeah, and then I had to amend the statement because my favorite movie is Back to the Future. This is one of my favorite mm-hmm. movies. But I haven't sat down recently and made like a top 10 list. Years ago I did, and it's all like movies from the 80s and 90s. But I'm sure there have been good movies that have come out in the last 20 years.
Yeah.
But in order for one of those movies to like make it onto this list, I need to kick off one of the existing movies, and I feel bad about that.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe I shouldn't feel bad because, like, you know, your favorite movies, you shouldn't necessarily feel loyalty to a movie you really liked. Mm-hmm. I'm sure at a certain point when I saw Secret of My Success, you'd be like, wow, that's the best movie I ever saw. And then you see other movies like,
it was just
a movie.
You know, at one point in your life, you only saw 20 movies.
Right, right.
So they're all in the top 20.
Or you had a top 10 and a bottom 10, and then that was it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess you could look at it from a negative view also, that you keep on adding new worst movies you've ever seen. So what was the worst movie now may actually be okay. It may float up mm-hmm. the same way that the best movies move down to the middle. Okay, so we were talking about Hunt for Red October. Sean Connery's character, Captain Marco Ramius, was not trusted by his fellow Russians because his family came from where?
Lithuania.
Lithuania, yes.
That I knew, actually.
Yep. He was called the Station Master of Vilnius. This country is the least visited country in Europe with just over 100,000 tourists. By comparison, Vatican City sees more than that just about every single day.
Moldova.
Moldova.
I've never met anyone who's been there.
Have you been to Vatican City?
Yes.
There you go. Yeah, just in this room, 50% of people have been to Vatican City, 0% have been to Moldova. Mm-hmm. Eat it, Moldova. But we've never been to Lithuania either.
So. No.
But if you had to choose, you'd probably go to...
Yeah, because I knew that from Hunt for October.
Yeah. And also, I get the feeling that, like, the idea of a hotel has not made it to Moldova yet. Like, you arrive in a town, and be like, you can lie in ditch.
He's four-star ditch.
The ditch is full. Lion gully. the Molesti Misi wine cellar in this country is recognized by the Guinness Book of World Records as the world's largest wine cellar, which is ironic because they probably don't have many cans of Guinness in there. It's a wine cellar.
Mm-hmm.
The Molesti Misi wine cellar. Is that Lithuania or is that Moldova?
Moldova.
That is Moldova, yes.
I was going with Moldova. Ah. Molesti Moldova.
So Moldova is like the country where every word begins with an M.
It's like, or it's like Smurf. Like Smurf gets used as, you know, nouns and adjectives yeah. and verbs.
Okay. Due to a fight with Russia, this country's wines have been banned from sale in Russia for the last 11 years, severely crippling its economy.
Lithuania.
No, this one is Moldova as well.
Ah.
It makes me think that huge wine cellar is basically like all the wine they make every year. They're just like, put it in the cellar.
They're trying to sell it to Russia. They can't unload it.
When Russians don't want to drink your alcohol, there's something wrong.
Just sits there.
This country borders the exclave of Kaliningrad. Kaliningrad is a piece of Russia that's not actually connected to the rest of Russia.
Lithuania.
Lithuania, yes.
All right, that one was a guess.
Yep. Let's see. Lithuania and Moldova are both Catholic countries, but which one has the famous Hill of Crosses that was 100,000 crosses strong? The Soviets kept on tearing down and destroying and burning all the crosses, but the people of this country kept on building more crosses and putting them back.
I'm going to say Lithuania.
Yes.
Right. Yes. Because here's my guess.
Okay.
My guess is if that was in Moldova, they'd have more tourism. People would come out to see that.
No, you're right. Yeah. Yeah. Multiple popes, I believe, have visited this site and added their own crosses.
Mm-hmm.
And when people come, you are allowed to bring your own cross. You're allowed to plant your own cross there.
Mm-hmm.
You just need to find a place. It's kind of like, you know how in Paris they have those locks they put on the bridges?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I think, just like that. To the point where it's becoming an issue. At least in Paris, it's becoming an issue because the bridges aren't meant to have an extra 100,000 pounds of metal from all those locks. So there's some guy who I think comes in every once in a while, just cuts all the locks off and destroys all the happy relationships.
Every divorce is from that.
Yes. That's the great beginning of a romantic comedy right there. Someone with like a bunch of wire cutters coming through, destroying them one by one, throwing them in the Seine, getting booed at by all the Parisians. And it's because like he had a breakup,
mm-hmm.
and you know, he's never going to find love. And then he finds someone, but then someone else wants to cut the lock off. And at the very end, he's like, no. And then he changes the rules so that the locks stay forever.
You are the next Gary Marshall.
Better than being the next Garrison Keillor. I still look every day. It's like, he was joking, right? He was joking. I don't look like Garrison Keillor. No, Garrison Keillor looked like a pug that's been stretched out. That's not me. This country has an aurochs on
it. I said you look like a young Garrison Keillor. You're still young.
I'm going back to the mirror.
Right.
I'm going back to the mirror. Okay. This country has an aurochs on its flag. The aurochs is an extinct type of cow that was 30 feet long and 12 feet high.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, because it's just a picture of the head of an aurochs, it looks like the picture of a cow or a bull.
Moldova,
yes.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why aurochs went out of commission is because they were just too easy to hunt and kill. They were, like, enormous and incredibly dangerous, but if you have, like a tribe of guys hunting them, you can take one down, and then you eat for months.
Mm-hmm.
And you get all that bone that you can do stuff with, and sinew, I guess.
I think you see one, like, preserved, like they find mammoths.
Right. Right. It's funny that there used to be, like, megafauna, things like that, all over the world. And all over the world, we all decided we're going to kill and eat all of them. Everywhere except Africa. In Africa, they're like, you know what? Let's not kill every single elephant. Let's let some of them be. And now it's the thing we think about with Africa more than any other place. Like, there's elephants in India, and I forgot about them entirely until just now, because I said that elephants were exclusively in Africa. Okay, covering that over for one last question. Americans of the descent of this country include Robert Zemeckis, the film director, the Howard brothers, Mo and Shemp and Curly.
Hello.
Dick Butkus, Charles Bronson, and Jason Sudeikis.
All right, This is Lithuania. I've never met a Moldovan.
Yes. I did extensive research, could not find any famous Moldovans or Moldovan Americans. Which I think just means that they didn't emigrate to America very much.
No.
That if they wanted a better life, they would just move to Romania. Because they speak some unusual languages that are barely spoken anywhere else in the world. Whereas Lithuania, they speak Russian. So you can go to most any big city, especially 100 years ago, and you can find a Russian neighborhood where you can fit in. I said that Moldova was like one of the bases for Borat. Do you know who the most famous fictional Lithuanian is?
And it's not Sean Connery.
It's not Sean Connery, no. But he comes up far too much. For
my guess is that, all right, the fact that you're asking me this,
uh-huh.
It's a comic book character.
No, it's not a comic book character. But he is someone who's been in a series of movies and has been like recast like Batman over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, who will be Lithuanian? It's not a comic book character.
Nope.
So maybe somebody from like the Star Trek world.
Yeah,
Chekhov.
No, Hannibal Lecter.
Oh, okay.
So there was a backstory in the first Hannibal Lecter appearance that he had six fingers and that he had chopped one off. So when you looked at his hand, you could see there was like something weird there because he had a finger chopped off. And then they dropped that for all the other mentions of the character. And apparently in World War II, he was a young boy and he was forced to eat his sister during a starvation point. And afterwards, that just broke him physically. And he spent the next 20 years finding the soldiers that made him eat his sister and killed them all. And then he covered it up and became Hannibal Lecter.
Hmm.
And that is... Oh, that's a terrible way of ending our podcast.
Christmas one. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, no. We'll do a Nickelodeon. We're going to do a fun Nickelodeon.
You want to end the Christmas one about Hannibal Lecter eating people's hands?
No. But I think that did happen at Christmas time, too. So that would be ghoulishly appropriate. No. We're going to end with Theodore Roosevelt visiting his neighbors. It is unfortunately a 1917 piece of film, so there's no audio for it, but we can narrate it. Okay, Theodore Roosevelt calls on neighbors at Christmas, 1917. It's 56 seconds long. We're 10 seconds in. We see Theodore Roosevelt and family climbing up a small hill. They drove here in looks like a panel van. No, wait, that's not him.
No.
No.
It's another guy with a mustache.
Yeah.
Oh, the full screen helps. There, yeah, there we go. There, yeah, he now, is. Now I can tell the difference, yeah, between Teddy Roosevelt and...
Okay, and he was hanging out. The rest of the family came out. Now here comes TR himself, mm-hmm, and he's carrying a package. He's walked off screen immediately because this is not a well-framed shot. And the other guy's like, you come over here, Mr. President. And he's now saying, oh, and he's pointing to everyone and making some talks.
Presidents did not have much security around them back then, huh?
No,
that's why there was like an assassination every couple of days.
he was quite a large guy at that point. I just this year read a book about Theodore Roosevelt in his later years, and we had talked about this earlier on an early episode. He didn't understand the difference between like calories and eating and energy, so he was like, "Oh, I got to lose some weight." So he would just eat as many eggs as possible, like 24 fried eggs, and think that'll definitely help me lose some weight. It's like, oh, for some reason not working. Yeah. I guess I gotta throw in a pound of bacon with these 24 eggs.
And the idea that what, eat more and this would burn off the...
That it would be like energy. Okay. The same way that if your house is cold, you put more fuel in the fire, then it warms it up.
Mm-hmm.
So the food would be energy. And he never thought that, well, you have excess energy, so it's being stored as fat.
Mm-hmm.
So in a lot of ways,
I'm pretty sure he told Taft this.
He looked a lot like Taft in that picture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's thinner than Taft, but, you know, they're contemporaries.
Much. Yeah. Okay, that's a better place to end on. This has been the 1917 podcast. Next week, we are going to do a summation of all of 1917. We'll see how much we remember of the year that was.
Shouldn't that be our last episode, though?
I have something special for the last episode.
Really?
Yes. Until then, ahoy, ahoy.
Ahoy.